now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's it going? Yeah, everything's going pretty good on my end. I have just watched the Atlanta Hawks take game one away from the Milwaukee Bucks. And, hey, Boogie, guess what, man? All I'm seeing throughout the timeline, on Twitter, on Instagram, all these folks in here hollering about, they riding with Atlanta. They believe now. They rocking with us. They Hawks fans all of a sudden. Where you been? What'd he say? You weren't with when we were shooting in the gym? Y'all wasn't here? But now everybody Hawks fans. That's what's up. That's how everybody treat Atlanta anyway. They always bandwagon and jump in. They come into the city. But that's for another conversation. Back to you guys. What's up, man? How y'all feeling? Are you enjoying the NBA playoffs like I'm enjoying the NBA playoffs? Because I'm enjoying these NBA playoffs. We'll get into that, man. We'll get into that because it's a lot of new blood. I touched on it a little bit last week. It's a lot of new blood out here. And they out here, they making names for themselves. Trae Young, Book. Paul George is trying, man, but... he trying, man. I give him an E for effort, but y'all know I don't rock with him like that. I think he's a star. I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's the man. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to get confused like I'm a hater. I just don't think Paul George is the man. You know what I'm saying? But that's a good series. We got Phoenix and the Clippers, and that went down to the wire. I mean, that was a crazy game. The last, last few seconds took like 30 minutes, you know what I'm saying? And all the way to Ayton catching that oop with like 0.7 seconds left, you know what I'm saying? So that's a good series. This Hawks Milwaukee Bucks, if you've watched this entire game, it's shown you that this is going to be a good series too. The teams are fairly evenly matched. Like, there were some things, like when the Hawks got that pick and roll cooking, Milwaukee didn't know what to stop. When Trae hit that floater, when John or Clint Capella is running to the rim and he get the oop, or you just pull up, you know what I'm saying? They don't know what to defend. And we're going to have to see who makes some adjustments. On the flip side, though, we got to keep Giannis out of the paint. You got to do that. Because Giannis in the paint equals easier shots for Middleton, easier shots for Drew, easier shots for Portis, easier shots for all of those guys. So we got to keep Giannis out of the paint. And they had a little thing where he was rim running himself. They were doing a little pick and roll, him with Drew Holiday. And that was around the end of the game. So it's going to be a game of adjustments. We're going to see how it plays out. It's going to be an exciting series, which is going to equal up to an exciting NBA Finals. And if you know me, I know I told you last week that I was going to give you a prediction. So I'll go ahead. And if you know me, you know I am rocking with the Hawks. You know me. You know I'm rocking with the Hawks. All you got to do is go to my Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. You'll see who I'm rolling with. So, again, that's at the.commissioner.gordon. And you'll see who I'm rocking with once again. So I'm rolling with the Hawks. On the opposite end, I said I was going with the Clippers a long time ago because the West was so wide open, and I figured that they would be the team that could take advantage of this, not knowing that Kawhi Leonard would be hurt. You know what I'm saying? So with Kawhi Leonard being hurt, I have every right to change my vote. But I won't, because I am going to see if Playoff P can actually be Playoff P. And he was Playoff P all the way up to them damn free throws, man. Like, he was balling all the way up to them last free throws. Them last two free throws, it just went back to life, back to reality, man. I mean, he is who he is. Like I said, the man is a star. Paul George is a star. Don't call me a hater. He's a star. He just may not be the superstar. But I will say, since Kawhi's been down and injured, PG has been playing some basketball, man. He's been carrying these boys a whole lot better than I thought he would. So I took my hat to him, and that's why I'm going to ride with him. I'm going to stick with him. What the little thing said, I'm going to stick beside him. I'm going to stick with him until they prove otherwise. And partly because if I prove to be right, I would much rather the Hawks play the Clippers than the hot-ass Phoenix Suns. And Phoenix Suns with CP3 directing traffic, with Book cooking, and Aiden's confidence through the roof. Cameron Payne is out here hooping. Last time I saw Cameron Payne, he was doing these little TikTok dances in OKC with Russell Westbrook. You don't remember that? Go look it up. YouTube, Cameron Payne dances with Westbrook. Before every game, they do awesome little stuff with Baby Powell, and they, they do all that little stuff. It was funny to see. But now he out here hooping. I think he was a young dude then. Now he knows the league, and he out here balling. So hats off to him. I don't want to see them if I'm the Hawks. And that's why I'm going to hope that the Clippers can somehow pull it through and make my prediction correct. So, I didn't really intend on talking about the playoffs in the beginning of this episode. I didn't, but I got a little excited. So, you know, I think that is our NBA playoff talk a little bit. I'll circle back. What I will do is I'll circle back a little later into the show, and we'll talk about the draft lottery. And they had that yesterday, and we'll go around the top 10, the 15. We can go through the lottery, and I can kind of tell you a prediction about who I think would fit in which slots with which teams. So that we'll do that. And also during the show, we're going to talk about a couple hot topics, really. We're going to talk about some Black Girl Magic going to the Olympics. Got Black Girl Magic. And how do you feel about gays playing professional football, gay football players? We'll talk about it. Yeah. And I want to talk about, I know I said I want to talk about it last week, but some incidents happened this week and it made it absolutely hilarious. I want to talk about these pitcher pat downs, because these pitchers are absolutely upset and they're getting called out, and a lot of the managers are trying to call them out and say that they cheating and got this stuff on their hands and on their foreheads and on their chest or whatever. And they having these pat downs like they're in the club, man. I want to go through that so we can talk about that. But like I said, in the meantime, in between time, I thank you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. Here we go.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yo, with the playoffs being here and the Hawks are on fire, I posted a picture the other day of me in a customized 323_custom_apparel t-shirt, and my mentions went off. You know what I'm saying? Everybody hit me up. Gee, I want a shirt. Commission, I want a shirt. How do I get one of those? And I directed everybody to my good people at 323 Custom Apparel. You go to their website, you tell them what you want, and they will hook you up at 323_custom_apparel. You can get your new Hawks shirt. You can make up your own Hawks shirt. Or if you don't rock with the Hawks, you can tell them whatever team that you do roll with, and they will hook you up. All you got to do is visualize it. It's 323 Custom Apparel. Make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
All right, so I absolutely asked the question a little earlier, and I know you kind of looked at your radio, your phone, your device, whatever. You looked at it a little strange and a little funny, because I asked you, how do you feel about gay players in the NFL? Yeah, and I asked about it because there's an openly gay player in the NFL. How do you feel about that? The Las Vegas Raiders defensive end, Carl Nassib, came out the other day. He came out as a gay player with a message on Instagram. He basically came out and he said that he was gay and he had it on his mind for a while, but he hadn't really had the chance to make this statement openly. And in the message, he also said that he's a private person. So he said that to say that he's not doing this for clout. He's not doing this for the attention or the publicity. He also said that, you know, he feels that representation is needed. Visibility is important to his community. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. Like, in this conversation, I often say it's what, 30 football teams, 52 players on each roster. You mean to tell me y'all don't think, but one of the, but this guy, Carl Nassib, you think he's the only player that's gay? And if you think he's the only player that's gay, you fooling yourself. Once again, do the math. I don't know the statistics on telling you how many out of every male is gay. How many men are gay out of every group of men? I don't know if it's 1 out of 4. I don't know if it's 1 out of 10. I don't know. But I do know if I have a locker room of 52, that the likelihood is high that I have a gay player or two. And I'm perfectly fine with that. You should be perfectly fine with that. Like, I don't understand what difference would it make. They're here to play football just like you're here to play football. They don't care that you go out, you know, like if everyone has a difference. And the old adage is, what you eat don't make me shit. You go out and get drunk at night, go to the club. Should I look at you side-eyed? You should be practicing, working on your craft, in the weight room, whatever. Chad Ochocinco, I remember he says, and he still says it, he eats McDonald's only. Is that taking care of your body? Am I supposed to be judgmental for that? You see what I'm saying? There's all sorts of situations where I'm not your judge. I'm not the judge of you. What you do doesn't affect me on the football field until it does. Unless it's on the football field, it doesn't affect me. Unless you're going to jail, it doesn't affect me. Unless you're breaking the law and you're hurting the team, it doesn't affect me. So your sexuality does not affect me. Now, Nassib is a role player, and he's probably started about 37 games out of 73. He has 20.5 sacks. He got 143 tackles. He got an interception and all of that in his 5 seasons. This is going on his 6th season. And last year, he signed with the Raiders for 3 years, $25 million. And I listed his stats, and I said that he's a role player for a reason. Because if he was a star, if he was out here getting 12 and a half sacks a season, 4 or 5 interceptions coming off the defensive end, then I know how the league would react to him. I know they'd put their arm around him and they'd act like everything is okay. And they'd act like they were supportive. And they'd act like they were behind him and they would be turning a new page and dawning a new day in the NFL. But it's going to be interesting to see, because he's an average player, because he's a role player, because he's not a superstar. It's going to be interesting to see how the league acts. It's going to be interesting to see how the Raiders act. It's going to be interesting to see how the coaches act. It's going to be interesting to see how the fans act. You understand? But like I said, if he was a star, then everyone would have to act like they were with the program. Whether they are or not, everyone would have to act like they were down for the whole LGBT movement. They would have to act like that, because you can't You can't cut the star. I'm not even going to name a player's name and speculate, but you can't cut the star and say, oh, this dude, we're just going to cut him. But an average dude, such as Nassib, he can be waived. He could be cut, and it can be justified by saying, oh, well, his production came in under what we expected. It can be justified in a number of ways. Just look at how they did Michael Sam when Michael Sam got drafted. I'll talk about that in a minute. But the Raiders came out and they posted a message like they support him. And I thoroughly believe that's what they all, that's, they couldn't do anything else. You know what I'm saying? They would get roasted for putting anything out there other than we're proud of you. Other than we support you. You put out anything other than that, and you might as well shut the team down because you canceled. But it's not going to be so much as to what some of these franchises say. It's going to be their actions that's going to really show you how they feel. And like I said, if he gets cut later on during the training camp, then we'll see. Then we know how they really feel. You understand? Because they can say all they want. Earlier I said I want to see how the league reacts. I want to see how the Raiders react. I want to see how the coaches react. I want to see how all of those guys treat him, the front office, how they treat him, because I'm of the mind frame that I believe the players know. The players are all in the locker room together. They're interacting together. They're talking. They're sharing their family stories. They're doing all this stuff. And most locker rooms is almost, like I said, it's like a family, almost like a brotherhood, if you will. And so these guys, even if I don't come out and tell you, even if you don't come out and tell me, even if you don't come out and say this or say that, I know, because I can put two and two together. I can see your actions. I can see how you respond to certain things. I can see how you respond when this guy makes a racist comment. I see how you respond when this guy makes a sexist comment. I see how you respond when this guy makes a homophobic comment. And it tells you everything. It tells you all about the people that you're in this locker room with. So him coming out to us, coming out to the rest of the world, was just that. He came out to the rest of the world, because I'm sure the guys in his locker room knew already. And I would hope that his family has known already also. The way he was talking in the videos is like his family has known. And so I would hope that he would be able to be himself and be free and to be who he is in his own family. But I said about the league, because the league has an image and a fan base that it caters to. And if you haven't seen that fan base that it caters to, all you got to do is see what happens when a player takes a knee. And see who points around and says, get him out of here. He doesn't deserve a job in the NFL. Take your politics someplace else. There's a fan base that the NFL says and targets and says, we want this dollar. Your dollars are probably icing on the cake. Look what happened to Cap. Look what happened to Colin Kaepernick. There has been multiple quarterbacks signed that we all know Colin Kaepernick would eat their lunch. Colin Kaepernick would run circles around them athletically, skill-wise, mentally, experience, and he cannot get a job, all because he stood up for black and brown people against police brutality and police killing black people in the middle of the street and getting away with it. I talked about Michael Sam. Michael Sam, I personally, in my opinion, Michael Sam played this whole thing wrong. He played the game wrong. Like, he actually could have been the first active gay player in the NFL. But he played it wrong. What he decided to do was to put the pressure on the league to draft an openly gay player. And that's what they did. They just drafted an openly gay player. And they just cut him and had multiple teams pick him up. Whether it was the Cowboys, the Rams, I'm not sure if the Chiefs picked him up at one point in time. But and just cut him and say they gave him an opportunity, but he wasn't up to the level. I believe that was bullshit because the man was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Usually those guys play football on Sunday. I mean, I don't have a list in front of me, but like to say that you're the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, it ain't like saying, you know, you was the fastest 10-year-old or you were the strongest kid in Pop Warner. You're saying something if you're the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. And then to turn around and say that you can't cut it for the Rams or for the Cowboys or whatever other team. Hell, Jacksonville. Jacksonville could have gave you a shot. Whoever. Name the sorry team that you imagine, and you mean to tell me that if I told you that I would put the SEC Defensive Player of the Year on that squad, that you'd be like, oh, hell no, I'm good. But like I said, I think he played the game wrong. I think he should have laid low just a little bit. He should have gotten drafted. He should have made the squad. He should have gotten a few sacks and showed that he was a good player. And then he told them. Then he tells the world. Then he tells us that he's gay and he's openly gay and that the locker room knows and that some of the coaches know and they're cool with it and that we should be cool with it too. And we should be cool with it too. It's his lifestyle. But that's just how I felt like he should have played it. He played it how he played it. I thought it, that the NFL viewed it as a slap in the face. This man comes out, he's openly gay. He gets drafted and the first thing you see, the first image of him that you see is not him hugging his mother and his brother. And that's not what you remember. It's him kissing his boyfriend for an extended amount of time on the draft. And that is why I said, like, when you play into these conservatives, when you're playing to these dudes who want you to see the world as one way and one way only, and then you try to turn the card over or you try to add some color to it, it shakes up too much, and they try to get rid of you. They try to block you. So that's why I said that he played the game wrong. I think he should have laid low. He should have gotten his numbers. He should have done his job. And then he should have told you, hey, by the way, the jersey you wearing when you're in the stands and you slapping five when I sack the QB, it's of an openly gay football player. But that's how I believe he should have played it. Now, we'll see what goes on with Carl Nassib and see how he plays it and how the NFL allows him to play it.
Commissioner Gordon.
Hey, listen, a little earlier, man, I told you I just got finished watching the Hawks beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Guess what I'm about to do? As soon as I finish this podcast, going over to the cabinet, open it up, grab me a bottle of Greenwood whiskey. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to watch all the recaps, watch all the highlights. I'm going to have a celebration drink for the Atlanta Hawks. Because that's what Greenwood whiskey is for. Greenwood whiskey is celebration whiskey. This summer, we encourage you to celebrate life, celebrate love, celebrate being outside, but celebrate with Greenwood whiskey. Greenwood whiskey, it's celebration whiskey.
Commissioner Gordon.
Hey, I know you know, we usually don't get down with the baseball talk until it gets down to probably after the All-Star break, or, you know, once it get down that time to the pennant race, you know, that's when y'all really start paying attention. But I suggest that you start watching, because the Major League Baseball has basically instituted these new rules. They got tired of these guys adding the sticky stuff to the baseball and changing the velocity of the ball and adding an extra dip in the curve and extra dip in the breaking ball and all of these things, because it's ruining the game. There's no hitting. Everything is going, it's wilding out here. So they instituted this rule to where it's almost like a witch hunt. A coach can call you out. Hey, he playing with his cap. He rubbing his chest. Why he keep pulling on his socks? What's in that, you know, what's on his hat? And that's what happened the other day, as the Phillies manager, Joe Girardi, just kept basically going at it with Max Scherzer. He was checked and pat down 3 different times. And he just kept saying, Joe Girardi just kept pointing like, yo, he's rubbing on his head. I ain't never seen him rub his head that much. And my man is like, yo, I'm sweating. I got nothing out here, dog. It got to the point where the managers were having to stare down. The pitcher was staring down the manager was staring down the other manager. We got the other manager talking about, come on, bring it on. He's calling BS, all of this stuff, and it became a spectacle. And baseball purists hate it, but I was loving it because it became very entertaining. At that point in time, I didn't give a damn about the pace of play. I didn't care. But that's what everybody's complaining about. Like, oh, it's taking too long. It's player stoppage. If you're going to give me that every time where the pitcher's going to turn around and talk trash to the manager and be like, yeah, I ain't got nothing. You can check me. If you're going to give me that, I'll take that. I'll take that stoppage. Coincidentally, just as wild, was Oakland A's pitcher Sergio Romo. He was asked to be checked. The umpire called him, asked him over to be checked, and he immediately went into, like, he was being asked, like, by the police. He started untucking his pants. He unbuckled his pants. He threw his hat off. You know, he threw his glove down. Like, started unbuckling. It was like, wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. I believe you. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. So, I'm just saying, like, I know y'all ain't rocking with baseball right now like your boy, but check it out, man. At least check out the highlights on SportsCenter, because this thing is getting out of hand. It's getting quite hilarious, and I am all for the shenanigans. I'm all for baseball doing the un-baseball-like thing and actually entertaining someone for a change.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, so, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the Olympics trials have been going on the past few weeks or whatever. And, man, I'm going to salute my young black women out here doing the damn thing. Black girl magic, black girl summer is going to take over. Black girl Olympics is going to be a thing. I don't know if you've watched, but if you haven't seen Sha'Carri Richardson, go YouTube it. You're in for a treat. This young lady won the 100 meters at the Olympic trials, at the United States Olympic trials. She won with a 10.86 and is walking away from the crowd. She's 21 years old. April 10th, she ran a 10.72. She actually ran a 10.6 earlier in the Olympic trials, like 90 minutes before. She ran a 10.86. She ran like a 10.6, but they said it was wind aided. They couldn't grant her the actual 10.6 because it was too much wind. And so, you know how that game goes. But she will be more than likely be favored to medal in the Olympics. I mean, she's going to go up against 2-time Olympic champion, 34-year-old Shelly Ann Fraser Price. And she's from Jamaica. Shelly Ann, she is, if you haven't watched her, she be rolling too. I mean, she's probably the second, considered the second fastest woman ever, next to FloJo. I think this year she clocked in at a 10.6. I think it was in earlier in June, earlier this month, she clocked in at a 10.63. So I encourage you to watch that 100 meter. Sha'Carri Richardson did not run the 200, and it's probably for the best. She wants to focus on the 100, and the one she's probably going to be on the relay team, and it's going to be very, very fun watching her do her thing and watching her go up against Fraser Price as they go to get rolling on the 100 meters in the Olympics that's going to take place in Tokyo. Also, speaking of continuing the black girl magic, Simone Manuel won the 50-meter freestyle to lock up a spot on the United States Olympic team. She did this just days after revealing she had been diagnosed with overtraining syndrome. Yes, I said overtraining syndrome. And we'll get to overtraining syndrome in a minute. But Manuel is headed back to the Olympics. It should be 4 years, but because of COVID, it would be 5 years after becoming the first black woman to win an individual gold medal in swimming. She won it in the 100-meter freestyle. And she's going this year in the 50-meter freestyle. But back to this overtraining syndrome, it's pretty much equivalent to burnout. Because when I heard overtraining syndrome, immediately I thought of what it could possibly be. And if you hear overtraining syndrome, you're probably thinking what it could possibly be too. And you're basically saying, well, shoot, it sounds like you just need to get some rest. And that's basically what it was. But it was frustrating to this young lady, because to Simone, because she was saying that the more she trained, the less the results were. So usually if you're training hard, you can start to see the time shave off of the clock. You see that it would be easier for you to navigate the waters. You could see that your technique is improving. You could see all of these things. You could feel all of these things, but she could not. She was actually regressing, and she was training hard. And so she went to the doctor. The doctor basically told her that she needed to get out of the pool. He told her she needed to get out of the pool for 3 weeks. Don't swim. Don't exercise. You need to let your body relax. You need to let your body recover from the training, recover from the competition. She also went on to explain that how with OTS, is what they're calling it, with OTS, she suffered insomnia, she suffered from depression, anxiety, and of course, sore muscles. So, like I said, she was treated by the doctor telling her to basically relax for 3 weeks. Telling her to not get in the pool, to not go exercise, to go against all of your instincts as an athlete. Just go chill. So I'm glad to see she took the doctor's orders. She made it into the Olympics. And I will be rooting for her to see what happens in the Olympic Games. Speaking of Simone's, I don't know if you guys remember, probably about a few months back, maybe it was around March, I think, we talked about Simone Biles. And I told you about how Simone Biles was basically mastering what's called the Yurchenko double pike vault. And the Yurchenko double pike vault, no woman has done this before. And to discourage other women from doing it, well, let me stop from there. No woman has done it before, other than now Simone Biles, because Simone Biles was in a competition not too long ago and she completed it and she finished it. And guess what? The judges gave her a low score. Why did the judges give her a low score? The judges gave her a low score not because they didn't like the move. Hell, the dude that it's named after, if I recall correctly, whoever your Chinka is, your Chinka, he couldn't do the move. He couldn't land the move. He just came up with it. But Simone Biles can land the move, and she does it in competition. But when she does it, she gets a low score. And like I said, she gets a low score not because the judges don't think that it's a dope move. How can you not think it's a dope move? Can't nobody else damn do it. But they give her a low score because they don't want to encourage others from doing the move. If we give you this 10 or whatever the highest score is, if we give you that, then this other young lady who probably has no business trying the move is going to hurt herself trying to do what you just did. And for that, for her safety, I have to give you a 6. Some bullshit, ain't it? Just saying it sounds dumb to me. Like, any other sport, if you have a person that can do something that no one else can do, you are put on a pedestal, you are trotted out, you are shown to the masses. Look, we've found the one. Look what happened when the league found Michael Jordan. Look what happened when the league found Tom Brady or Lawrence Taylor. Look what happened. Look what happened when the league found LeBron James. They put them in front of the world. They promote them. You get the most money. You get the favoritism. You get the best looks. At the All-Star game, you become the elder statesman for the sport. But here, where Simone Biles may be the greatest gymnast ever, instead of putting her on that pedestal and highlighting her ability, these fools out here encourage her to be Clark Kent. They want her to hide her talent. They want her to put a blanket over what she can do. They want her to dim her light. I'm here to say that during these Olympics, I would like to encourage Simone Biles, and I would like for her to put her talents on display for the world. And if the judges, the FIG, if they give her a low score, then what you have done is you've shown the world the discrimination that you've already witnessed. And so everyone, the entire world, can be outraged right along with you and stand beside you and tell them how full of shit they actually are.
Commissioner Gordon.
Once again, keeping it going, Naomi Osaka. Naomi Osaka withdrew from the French Open. She also withdrew from Wimbledon, citing her mental health reasons. And many got upset. A lot of people were upset because when you don't have the star, you don't get the views. And you don't get the views, a lot of times you don't get that money. And so a lot of the audience was upset simply because they could not force this young lady to participate in these events. She knows her worth. She's accumulated a lot of money already. And so she's basically saying, I don't need to participate in these events. I don't need to participate in these matches to carry on. My sponsors are behind me and they are with me 100%. I have their vote of confidence. So she's now focused all of her attention on playing in the Olympics. And being that she's 23 years old, this is her first Olympics, and she's going to play for Japan. And I know what you're saying, like, you're looking at me like, damn, Japan? Yeah, Japan. She was born in Japan. Her mother is Japanese. Her father is Haitian. She was born in Japan, like I said, and she was raised in New York. But she's very excited about flying and playing for the Japanese flag, and she's probably going to be the only person that's not wearing an USA jersey, uniform, whatever, that I will be rooting for. So I would like to say good luck to Naomi Osaka. I love your courage and everything that you're standing for in terms of mental health and what you're doing for other young women that are coming along behind you and being a role model, and I will be rooting for you. All right, bringing it back, man. The NBA had its lottery drawing just before the Suns and the Clippers game. And one, I was excited because the Atlanta Hawks wasn't a part of it. I can just say that. The Hawks weren't a part of it. I wasn't sitting there thinking like, damn, we need to get the number three pick so we can get. Nah, we good. We still playing. Matter of fact, we up. We up in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. But what did wind up happening was I think Detroit got the first pick. And from there, Houston got the second pick. Cleveland got the third pick. Toronto is number four. The Orlando Magic is number five. OKC is six. Golden State is seven. The Orlando Magic again is eight. And Sacramento is nine. And New Orleans is 10. Well, real quickly, without going to like placing slots and why I think these guys should be here, what I will say is I'm going to try to have on a guest on YouTube that we can discuss this next week. So tune in to my YouTube channel. That's Commissioner Gordon on YouTube. And type in the Commissioner's Conversation. You can check me out. I'm going to have a guest there that we're going to discuss the draft prospects. We're going to discuss what a lot of these teams need, because if you know like I know, Detroit needs a whole lot. Orlando needs a whole lot. Everybody left Houston like it was burning down, so they need a whole lot. Cleveland is steady trying to build, but I don't know if they have what it takes to be a playoff contender in the next couple years. So we'll talk about that. But I will sit here and I will tell you that some of the names to know that you're probably going to hear in the next few weeks leading up to the draft is Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham is a good player, man. I've heard all kinds of comparisons from Penny Hardaway to Luka Doncic. He's an athletic guy. He's going to play the point forward type role, and he has the ability to be a great player. Jalen Green, if you actually have seen me out in person and we started talking about the draft, I'll always bring up Jalen Green because I watched Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga. I'll put them both in the same category. I watched them both play in the G League, and I think the future is bright for both of these young men. And it's going to be interesting to see where they go. Evan Mobley is another guy who is going to be interesting to see where he goes. He's a tall, slender, maybe you could compare him to an Anthony Davis type player. He can play inside a little bit, can play outside a little bit. He's long. He's going to fit in today's NBA because he's not really a power guy. He actually, from what I've seen, if he gets on the right team, he may very well possibly be able to turn into a Giannis Antetokounmpo type player, to where he can put the ball on the ground a couple times and flush it home as he jumps from 15, 16 feet away, 12, 13 feet away, like damn near the free throw line. He could be that type of guy. Scotty Barnes from Florida State. Scotty Barnes is a talented dude. He's a big another guy who is benefiting from being a big guy, but can play on the outside. You got some more names: Davion Mitchell, Keon Johnson, Kai Jones, Josh Giddey. I mean, there are going to be some guys out here. Like, this may not be the best draft once you get past like the top five, maybe six, but there's always going to be some talent out here. There's always going to be some talent because these young men are getting more talented by the day because they're playing more basketball, so they're learning more basketball, and it's going to be interesting to see where these gentlemen go and begin their professional career in the NBA. And we'll talk more about that coming up as we get closer to the NBA draft. Hey, again, I thank you. I thank you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I'd like to encourage you to check me out on all social media platforms, whether it's Twitter at G Robinson Sports, at Twitter at G Robinson Sports, whether it's on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. That's at the.commissioner.gordon. Check me out. Like I said, I'm always posting fun, interesting things on my stories. I'm engaging with everyone who opts to engage with me. We can go back and forth. We can talk basketball, football, baseball, whatever. Trying to make everything fun for you. So I thank you for tuning in. I encourage you to like. I encourage you to subscribe. I encourage you to share. And I also thank my producer, my engineer, DJ Reese Boogie. And if you see him out, if you hear that DJ Reese Boogie is out in these streets, he's having an event, I need you to show up. Show up and support this young man too. I don't know if you know this, but for the past like 4 weeks, he's been doing Bite Night with Greg Street at Restaurant 10 in downtown Atlanta. He's been doing a bunch of different things with his band, Under 21, the band. They shot some videos this week. So I'm super proud of what he's doing and what he's got going on. I encourage you to follow him on all platforms at This Is DJ Reese Boogie. So once again, I thank you. I encourage you to like, share, subscribe, and I thank you again for tuning in. Until next week, I'll holler.